Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We spoke yesterday about forgiveness, about the willingness to forgive others as we have been forgiven by God. It doesn't mean you have to feel warm and fuzzy inside, but you are willing to open your heart. Otherwise, resentment and a desire for revenge and hatred and bitterness will fill your soul, as long as you hold on to unforgiveness. If forgiveness doesn't mean that the situation doesn't matter, it means you're willing to let it go. That's what Jesus is doing with us. If we're followers of Christ, that's what we're called to. And the grace will be there, the power will be there to do it. Perhaps that's, as I said yesterday, perhaps that's the main thing that you should do during Lent, is be able to ask for forgiveness, to both receive it and to give it, wherever the need is. Clear the slate, because God died to save you so that you could be with Him forever. Don't keep putting obstacles in the path. I know it's hard, but let it go. God will do nothing but bless you for that. Today we read from the book of Deuteronomy, this time chapter 4, verse 1, and then verses 5 to 9. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and the decrees which I am teaching you to observe." This is Moses now teaching on the Ten Commandments. "Which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live, and that you may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully. For thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? What great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?'" We have been very blessed by God. He's giving us statutes. He's giving us commands. But it's so that we can follow him on the right path and receive what he has for us at the end of this life's journey. This passage from Deuteronomy continues, "However, take care and be earnestly on your guard, not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live. But teach them to your children and your children's children." How necessary that is today, brothers and sisters, to take responsibility to teach our children right from wrong, to teach our children the love of God. Don't just let it to the teachers of religion in schools. Parents are the first teachers. Teach them. Grandparents. Teach them. Open their heart. Tell them stories. Show them the goodness of God. Show them that our sin hurts God and God is so good to us. We want to tell them we're sorry right away. Teach them the fundamentals by your actions, not just by your words, by your actions, by your speech. "However, take care and be earnestly on your guard, not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your children's children." And that call remains today. Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. He sends forth his command to the earth, swiftly runs his word. He spreads snow like wool, frost he strews like ashes. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them." God's people are pastored very personally by God. He loves us. He's with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the graces of your baptism, the graces of your first communion, confession, confirmation, may those graces be ignited in your heart and lead you to embrace all that God asks of us. You will become a light in the darkness, literally. Please see what God has for you. Ask the Lord to show you. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes, his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. Today he makes himself known to all his people. He gives all of us his ordinances, all of those who desire to follow him. And it's your example of following him and the fruit that it bears in your life, including the way you deal with crosses and heavy things. All of that can teach God's people, and they need it, brothers and sisters. They need it. Not just the poor. There are many that are poor in spirit in the wrong way. They're starving. They don't know. They don't understand. Teach them. And then there are the physically poor who need our help and need an activation of the gospel, that they can see it in our lives, clothing the naked, giving food, shelter to those in need, and bringing them to Christ, praying with them, praying for them. This is what God is asking of us. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, I often think about, just kind of reflect, what it must be like when we leave this life and see God for the first time. I really can't imagine it. All I know is that as far as it is in my power, I want to respond to the grace of God so that my life is more and more transparent and that he can be seen through me, his light. Brothers and sisters, I say that not because I'm experiencing great inspiration. It isn't that at all. I just know that this is what God wants. I want to be his disciple. I want to be his daughter. I want to be his child. And I want him to be able to live through me and work through me as he wills. Sometimes I fight him. Sometimes I have to learn how to surrender. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Scripture says that we will shine like the stars for all eternity. I know that sounds poetic and you say, yeah, well, not me. It's there for every one of us. The only thing that holds us back is our own unforgiven sin, that we haven't sought forgiveness. That's the only thing that holds us back. Doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter what titles you have. It doesn't matter whether you know people of influence or you hold titles and positions. None of that matters in heaven. Did you use what you have been given for the building of the kingdom of God? That's what God is asking of us. Whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And we teach in an enormous way. We teach by example. Even when we don't think we're being observed, we often are. We often are. Somewhere in the last year or so, I was in a school, And I was very, very struck by the couple. There was a couple in the school. It was after school. And there was a couple in the school who were cleaning the school. And a couple of their children, young children, were there helping as well. And it was the way that they were serving in order that their children could go to a Catholic school because they couldn't afford it. And so they offered themselves to work there as a family. What do you think their children are learning? They're among some of the happiest children I've seen. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the world esteems or holds in high value. What matters is what God thinks. I admire that couple for what they're willing to do, and to do it with a kind of joy and peace that can only come from God. What about you? And I ask myself the same question. What about me? Am I living what God wants me to live? Or are my values based primarily on the values of this world? If they are, it is not going to bring us infinite peace and eternal happiness. So I would ask you, in fact, I almost would plead with you to take an honest look, take an inventory of how much of the world rules what you do. It rules your conversation. It rules your dress. It rules your recreation. It even has quite an influence on the job you have if you're working. What is it that guides me? What leads me? And I think we need to be honest. When people see me, what do they see? One time I asked a very trusted friend that question. What do they see in me? And because she knew me well, she was able to pick out my weakness. That was good for me to see how it was influencing me in conversation, in relationships, in activities. And I ask God for the help to change that. Still have to battle it. But I ask God for help to change it. And he does. So I don't know how to say this without repeating myself. Maybe I should just make a CD and say one sentence. But what I want you to do is please take this season of Lent seriously. Focus on one thing, at the most two. Ask God for help and wisdom. Acknowledge your weakness. Acknowledge your sin. Ask God for help to change. Read the scriptures every day. Ask God's forgiveness every time you fall. You won't be defeated. You really won't. Because when you ask God for help, by your own admission of sin and failure, then God draws very near to you, and there's more peace than you've ever known. But you do need to make decision. Don't straddle. Don't say that would be nice. Say, God, help me. I give you this area. Help me to change. And he will. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.